by serving the saints. And that's really kind of the message of Hebrews 6:10. And, you know, and he starts out and he talks about that work and labor. And just some simple observations here is, you know, real ministry, ministry unto the Lord, is a sacrificial investment of your life. And you think of Sharon, and I know she doesn't want to draw attention to her. You know, she wants the attention drawn to the Lord, but the Lord has used her for a lot of years. And she has sacrificially invested in the lives of the people there in Las Piedras and across Uruguay. And really, folks, that is what God asks us to do, is to invest our lives in others. And it is work, right? The word work there is, you know, energy applied for a purpose. And labor is really burdensome toil. And the writer of Hebrews says, listen, God sees, God remembers when you work, when you labor, when you toil for His name and to the benefit of His people. And real ministry is a sacrificial investment of your lives. That love is the agape love, you know, a devoted love, a sacrificial love, a giving love. And that's what God calls all of us to do. Invest our lives in serving Him. Real ministry is focused on others and their needs. You might say, how can this be? But I think a lot of times we do things because of how it makes us feel. You know, the satisfaction of seeing something accomplished. You can go out and you're seeking to reach people for the gospel. And let me tell you, when you lead someone to Christ, it is an exciting and encouraging thing. But I hope that's not why we're going out. You know, we're not going out because it makes me feel better about myself. Really, the focus of ministry, of serving, is on others and their needs. That verse 10 says, you know, that God's not forgetful. He'll notice your work and labor of love in that you have ministered to the saints. And you know, let me just say, that's the big saints and the little saints, right? You know, the children, the work in nursery. There are so many things involved in the work of the Lord in church ministry. And all of it is service unto the Lord. And all of it is really ministry to the saints, directly or indirectly. You know, if you're out cutting the grass so that our property looks appealing to somebody and they feel like they want to come to our service, you know, that's investing in people. And when you are watching children in the nursery, that's so their parents can be hearing the gospel and you're sharing the love of Christ to them as soon as they are able to learn. And I've been investing in my grandson. I have my selfish interests. I love angel food cake. Did I tell you guys this before? That's my favorite cake. And so I've already begun teaching him that the answer to what kind of dessert would you like, angel food cake. So, you know, my goal is to have him saying that before he says mama or daddy, you know. But, you know, we invest in those littlest of children. And we can begin teaching them things less self-centered than that, okay, from a very, very young age. And talking to them about the Lord Jesus. And so we are about investing in people and focusing on them and their needs. And really, this passage doesn't make any distinction. It's just talking about, in general, that ministry, that service, right? The word ministry just means serving. And in that you have served God's people and you do ministry. And real ministry is ongoing and seemingly unrelenting. And he says it that way. The same word, he says it using two different tenses. And he says, you have ministered and you're still ministering. And he says, God is observant of that. He knows what you have done. He knows what you are doing. And Paul's going to appeal and keep doing it. And he'll see all of that as well. And sometimes we can get worn down. We can get weary in well-doing. But, you know, God is seeing all of that. And really, some of the most important service to God that we do is the stuff that is relentless and just keeps coming. You know, I have often said that the two most challenging staff positions in a church of any size are the person who does all the bookkeeping and the payroll and the bills, and the person who does all the maintenance, because the expectation is that everything will be just right. And if everything is just right, nobody notices, nobody says a word. But, you know, if you mess it up, right, If you mess up in the accounting, if the building doesn't look nice and clean and whatever, that gets noticed. And sometimes the hardest service is things that are outside the public view, but things that have to get done. And Sharon was talking about, you know, about the replacing a window and just all those peripheral things. Some of you come in. Somebody came in on Saturday and vacuumed our rugs and cleaned our windows. And all of those things are, in a sense, a service to God's people, and a service unto the Lord. And the fourth observation I would make is that real ministry to people is motivated by a love for God. And we're told here that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. And then it says, which ye have showed toward His name, in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. In other words, it's because of your love for God, a love that you're showing toward His name, it's because of that love that He observes that these folks are ministering to the saints. And one of the ways that we demonstrate our love to God is by serving God's people and serving God's church and doing the work of the ministry, what all that entails, whether it's direct working with people, whether it's indirect things that allow people to be reached, that allow the gospel to go forth, that allow things to happen that encourage and build us up and cause us to reach out. All of those things ought to be motivated by a love for God. You remember when Jesus was confronted by one of the Pharisees? They were always trying to trap Him in His words. And he said, Master, you know, what is the first and greatest commandment? And Jesus gives them the answer. He says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And I've often wondered if Jesus kind of paused there and watched the wheels turning in the guy's head to see what he was thinking. And then he continues and he says, and there's a second that's like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he says, really, that's the sum total of all of the practical reality of how to live for God as depicted in the Old Testament. And obviously, the Old Testament's filled with all kinds of details and outward, but Jesus says it really comes down to this. You love God. That's the first and great commandment. And there's a second one that's like it. It's not the same. It's a distinct commandment, but it's like it. It flows from it, and that is love your neighbor as yourself. And folks, real ministry, real service to God's people is born out of not just pleasing people or serving them, though we have a heart for them, but it really is a love for God and showing them the love of God by serving them. And the reality is, folks, that people do get confused on this sometimes. There needs to be a priority. One of them does come first. Loving God is preeminent over even loving people. And yet they're connected. And they flow from each other, but it's possible to misunderstand that connection. You know, someone might say, well, love for the name of God is virtually equivalent to loving people in this verse, so what we really just need to focus on is caring for people. Well, certainly we want to care for people. But you know what? If that is really the driving focus, what that really is religious humanitarianism. And that's not what we're called to do. Now, we can be humanitarian, and we can minister to people's practical needs. And, you know, I'm all for taking those young children and giving them a treat, that encourages them, and that's a way of showing the love of God to them. But our focus always is to draw their attention to God. And that's why in our circles, we're always careful to distinguish what missionary work is really about. It is not the same as Habitat for Humanity. I have no problem with Habitat for Humanity. But missions work is not primarily about ministering to people's material needs. If you have skills and you can go out and help someone in a third world country dig a well and benefit from some of the resources that we have here, that's fine. If you've got medical skills and you can attend to people's medical needs, that's fine. If you can encourage them all the way in small, tangible ways, that's fine. But the goal is always to show our love to God by loving them and bring them to a point of loving God themselves and turning the attention to Him. We don't, frankly, want them to love American ingenuity, resourcefulness, and prosperity. You know, we can use those things to help people, but our goal is to turn them to God. And real ministry is born out of a love for a God and a desire to draw people's attention to Him. You know, as Jesus went about his business, he ministered to people's needs. He fed them, he healed them, but always his goal was to help them see that they needed a relationship with him and ultimately with his Heavenly Father, whom he loved and whom he sought to draw attention to. And that ought to be our pattern. And lastly, I would just say, real ministry is worth it. You may feel weary in well-doing. I shared something similar with this with our teachers a couple of years back. And you know, school ministry can be really relentless. You know, I mean, you have class every day with those same group of kids every day. And some days they're not as cheery and pleasant. Sad to say, sometimes we who are teaching are not always as cheery and pleasant as we ought to be either. But there's a certain relentlessness that is there. But you know what? God is mindful of all of that. And that's really the heart of this passage, of this verse. God is not unrighteous to forget. And the word there, forget, is, you know, the idea of overlook, to neglect. God obviously doesn't forget anything. But the point is that, you know what? Don't think for a second that God doesn't see when you, out of a love for Him, are serving. And you're ministering to God's people, and you're just faithfully continuing on. Don't think for a second that God is not mindful of all of that. And there is a reward that's coming. And I want to encourage us, folks, we ought, after the heart of God, be mindful of seeing God's people here among us serving and express our appreciation for that. You know, ultimately, we don't do it for the accolades of men. We don't do it for the... But we are... Our people, we struggle sometimes, and it's helpful for us to share with one another that, you know, I appreciate your ministry. Thank you for taking care of my kids. Appreciate you teaching the Sunday school class. You know, hey, I know you spent a lot of time fixing this thing that was broken. I really appreciate that. Now, that's not why we do it. But we who are part of God's people ought to show that appreciation, and sometimes we do overlook. Sometimes we do forget. Sometimes we do neglect to observe those things and express our thanks for it. But God is not unrighteous to forget like that. Nothing is lost on Him. And when He sees someone who is serving out of a love for His name and out of a desire to meet the needs of people, it would be contrary to God's character to overlook that. He sees that heart. He sees that service. And He will not forget. You know, there are a lot of unsung heroes. There are a lot of faithful, faithful people. And many of you under the sound of my voice, you are them. Many of you have been serving the Lord. Well, some of you, not many of you. You know, I imply that you're really old, okay? But there are folks here who have been serving the Lord for more than 50 years. Just like Sharon. But the issue is not how long it is. I think Sharon alluded to that. It's being faithful where God puts you, where you are right now. And that's the writer of Hebrews' point. He says, listen, as you're serving, as you're maybe feeling a little bit weary, as you're wondering, is this really making a difference or not? You know, God sees it all. And God knows that your heart is to serve Him out of a love for Him, out of the love that you've shown toward His name. And that love has evidenced itself as you have ministered and do minister to God's people. And there's great and rich reward. Verse 12 says, so in light of that, don't be slothful, but be followers of them who through faith and patience and endurance inherit the promises. Folks, let's show our love for God by serving one another, by seeking to reach out and serve people who so desperately need the gospel. And let's encourage one another and pray for one another to that end. And let's remember that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And I just want to say, Sharon, thank you so much for your faithful ministry. And thank you to folks here who have supported missions and served here faithfully. and do serve now and have a heart now just to show your love for God by serving in this place. I'm thankful for that. I'm appreciative for that. But you know what? You don't need my thanks and observation of that nearly as much as to realize that God sees all that perfectly. And He'll undertake for you. And He'll sustain you. And He'll encourage you. And He'll help you along the way and prosper your work. We don't always see I got to wrap up here. We don't always see the results as quickly as we'd like. There's a story. Some of you have probably heard it about this fellow. He was started out in the British Navy, and then he was in the American Navy for a while, and ended up in the Australian Navy. And eventually, once he detached from the Navy, he ended up living in Sydney, Australia. And I didn't jot this down. The thought just came to me here, so I don't remember his name off the top of my head, and I don't remember the street that he lived on, but he became a Christian. And God burdened him to witness to people every day. And so he was determined that he was going to go out in that street every day and seek to present Christ to 10 people every day. And so he went out in the street every day. And he had literature with him, and he would ask them kind of like that diagnostic question, so to speak, that I referenced this morning, something along the lines about, you know, if you were to die, do you know, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? And he did that for years and years and years and years. And to his knowledge, no one was ever really reached by it. I mean, sometimes maybe there was some seeming response, but it just seemed like that nothing really, no real fruit abounded. But there was a preacher from Britain who was widely traveled, and somewhere in his travels, he met a man. They were having lunch or whatever, and he asked the guy, well, when did you get saved? He says, you know, I was in Sydney, Australia. I was on such and such a street. And this strange man just kind of came up, and he asked me this question, and I couldn't just get it out of my mind. And this preacher, as you know, he asked that guy, he said, well, I'm going to this meeting. I'd like you to share that testimony. I think it would be encouraging. He shares the testimony. After the service, like three people come to him, and they say, you know what? When I was traveling in Sydney, Australia, I was on that same street. And a guy came to me, and he gave me that literature, and he asked me that question, you know, and I just couldn't get it out of my mind. And as this guy traveled and was sharing that story, people are just coming out of the woodwork saying that, you know, and I wish I could remember the name of the street. Somebody here maybe knows the story. I don't know, but true story, by the way. You know, I made sure it's a good preaching story, but it's a true story, okay? And eventually, he went to track the guy down. And the guy was elderly. And he's relating the story, and he's going to say, there's this person, and this person, and this person, and this person. And it's just, as word is spreading around, there's just more and more people. And the gentleman sits there with tears running down his face and says, I didn't think I'd ever reached anyone. But you know what? All that time, God was watching. And God was prospering his burden to minister in the lives of people. And God was not unrighteous. Jen, you're going to tell me the name? George Street. Okay, in Sydney. There we go. George Street in Sydney. That was my dad's name. You'd think I'd remember that. Okay? George Street in Sydney. But, you know, there were, as it turns out, thousands of people that came to Christ because of the faithfulness of that man, even when it seemed like it wasn't happening. And folks, if you will be faithful, God will prosper what you do, born out of a love for Him and a desire to minister to the needs of others. Let's go ahead and